It's certainly a very appropriate week to be discussing Shalom Bayis, being that it's Tu B'Av this week. And Tu B'Av, the Mishnah in Tainus talks about how Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur are the greatest Yom Tovim that we have, that the B'nos Yishlam go out and borrow each other's Big Day Lavan, and they go out in the forests, in the streets, in the Kramim, in the vineyards, and they tell the Bachim, don't look at the Chayin Noi, don't look at how I look, but look at my Mishpacha. And they would share clothing with each other and borrow each other's clothing, not to embarrass anyone. It's a time for shiduchim, a time to work on relationships. So it's a great time to talk about Shalom Bayis, continuing with these series. You don't have to have heard the previous ones. I want to speak about the idea of giving gifts, in particular when it comes to clothing. It's connected to Tu B'Av. And as I've mentioned in the past, that one of the five ways to express one's love is by giving gifts. Just to review, the other ways are to give compliments, to spend time with each other, to do services for each other, helping around the house, and then fourth it would be physical love, and the fifth one, which we're discussing now, is expressing love through giving gifts. Now, every single person has a different hierarchy of what's more important to them, but generally speaking, this is a higher inyan for women than for men. For many women, receiving gifts could be the most important thing. Women have a strong affinity to nice things, to new things, to fancy things. And it's something that men typically have a hard time understanding and appreciating, why women place such an emphasis on gifts and jewelry and clothing. There are always, of course, exceptions. There are some women who don't care for these things for variety of reasons, whatever those might be. And there are a number of men who certainly love new things, fancy things, receiving gifts. But I'm going to speak about the typical situation. In Pnimius, men are givers and women are recipients. Men are more proactive, they're nosein, they give, and women are more passive, they're mekabel. So the challenge is, even though men are givers by nature and providers and the breadwinners, many men have a hard time wrapping their head around the concept of giving gifts. They think it's a waste of money, it's a gashmius. To spend thousands of dollars on a tiny diamond makes absolutely no sense. No one really sees it. It shines. It may have a fake plastic one. It could do the same thing. Hundreds of dollars on shaitels and shoes and clothing. It's ridiculous. I'm not promoting, you know, I'm going to speak about giving gifts. I'm not promoting that a person should spend so much money and to spend a fortune on all this. That each person, to their capability and their desire. But I do want to explore this concept, at least, of giving gifts, particularly clothing and jewelry, in the eyes of Chazal. And the reason why it's such a challenge for men, it's simply because men don't understand the importance of clothing and jewelry. We don't. We just don't get it. Yes, some men do like clothing, so those men get it. But most men don't care. They're fine with wearing a white shirt and a suit, or even a collared suit, or a collared shirt. But many men don't place such emphasis on it. They like to look nice and put together, but not fancy, not so much money spent on clothing and jewelry. So men just don't understand that women need it mentally. That's how they have been programmed. That's how Hashem created women, to enjoy new clothing, nice clothing. That's how Hashem made them. And the men don't understand the depth in Pnimius either, what's behind this. And since we as men are creatures of intellect, not that women aren't, of course, women are very intelligent as well, but our decision-making is placed on things that we understand. And if we don't understand it, then why do it? Even though our wife might very much want it, if it doesn't make sense to us, so we're less willing to mevatel ourselves. So, as I'm putting the shiur together, it happened to me a wife's birthday. I was putting it together yesterday, and mamish, my wife's birthday yesterday. A Hebrew birthday, Yud Beis Av. And I'm thinking, well, this is going to be extremely expensive shiur for me. If I'm going to preach it, so I need to certainly practice it as well. Kashir atzmech v'achakach kashir achem. First adorn yourself, first fix yourself. Before you can give mussar, you need to make sure you're doing the right thing first on your own. So as I was preparing this year, I sent a text. My wife is busy working in camp. I sent her a text. I wanted to take her to the jewelry store this coming Thursday on Tubav, celebrating her birthday, celebrating Tubav, all these nice things, Mekayim, the Indian of giving gifts and clothing to my wife, hoping, to be honest, crossing my fingers, hoping she'd decline. And she wrote back, LOL. I'm not sure how to interpret that, whether that meant, okay, let's do it. It's funny, she knows I'm preparing this year. I don't know what she meant by that, but later that evening when she came home, she said that she doesn't need anything. Okay. Now, just because the wife says she doesn't need anything doesn't mean they really don't need anything. They're just, being humble. They're being passive. So figure out how to interpret that. But all women need it to a certain extent. So let's understand this challenge. So firstly, men, we don't understand the concept of giving gifts. Well, I kind of think that men do understand the concept of gifts. There are many things that men buy, want, and would love receiving as a gift. Just maybe not clothing, but other things, they understand the concept of gifts and receiving gifts. Such a thing makes sense to them. My wife can't understand, for example, why I keep buying more Svarim. I'm in the Z Berman's on Central Avenue 2 or 3 times a week getting different Svarim. Whenever I come home with more Svarim, she asks if I read through all the other Svarim I have on my shelf. And if I read all the other ones already, so then why am I buying, get rid of them to make more space? Because I've now taken over all the Svarim shelves in my house, and Baruch Hashem, I've got a lot of them, and then I built new ones. And my kids keep putting their books, and I keep knocking their books off, and my wife's like, where are the kids going to place their books? She sure doesn't get why I keep buying Svarim, and she doesn't understand that. But I keep buying Svarim because I need to learn, and I need to learn more. I need to prepare Shirim. I need to know how to Paskin Shilas. I need a Sefer and Bris Mila and Pidyon HaBed and on Nisun. Everything is its own Sefer, and then they're all the Rishonim, all the Achronim. So I certainly understand receiving gifts if someone wants to buy me Svarim. It's certainly something I would love and appreciate because it makes sense to me. Because I get the importance of Svarim. Growing up, for example, my father always liked to going to Sharper Image and always come home with the latest gadget. And my mother never understood it. In my father's mind, it made so much sense because it was some new benefit, some new chap. Whether it was a one of those massage chairs or a new video camera, whatever it might be. In my father's mind, it was something, it was a gift that he wanted. My mother didn't understand it. So, yeah, men understand the idea of a matana, a gift, a present. That concept is understood, just not the application to clothing and jewelry. Well, men like a good steak, a glass of wine, a shot of whiskey, and women don't get it. So I think it's clear that men like one set of things, one set of gifts, and women like a whole different set of gifts, which is completely fine. So, I think men, after establishing men could appreciate the importance of a matana, the importance of a gift, I think men can and should also understand the significance of clothing, the significance of jewelry as well. If we just open up our eyes a little bit more, I think it will be very clear. The idea of clothing, the idea of jewelry for women, is something that the Torah does appreciate, the Torah does emphasize. The Gemara Pesachim tells us that when it comes to regel, comes to Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah of Samachta Bechagecha. So the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Tesam Na'av tells us, Chayv Adam L'Sameach Banu V'nei Beiso B'regel. There's an obligation for a person to rejoice with his children, with his family. Shenemar, it says, v'samachta b'chagecha. You should rejoice in the yontif. B'ma mesamcham, asks the Gemara. In what way do we enjoy? B'yayin. Yayin, wine, it makes everyone happy, it makes everyone feel lightheaded, and there's a level of simcha. So that's what the Tanakhama holds, by wine, by buying wine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, anashim b'roi lehem, v'nashim b'roi lehem. No. Not everyone enjoys a glass of wine. You buy the men what they enjoy, b'ro'i lehem, what's fitting for them. And the nashim, for the women, you buy what's ro'i lehem, what's appropriate for their liking. Anashim b'ro'i lehem, what's the liking of the men? Yayin. Men like wine. Nice aged wine is what will satisfy a man. That's a gift for that a man receives. V'nashim b'mai. In what way are you going to mesamech your wife? Tana Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, "Bebavel, bebigdei tzivonim, beretisol, bebigdei pishon, muguhatsim." different types of clothing, depending if it lived in Babel, Eretz Yisrael. But giving clothing is what the Gemara tells us is a gift. So if the Gemara mentions that we buy clothing for women around the time of Regel, three times a year, Shlosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, so that should be sufficient. There's no contending with that. There's a certain emunas chum that we have to have. And if the Gemara says it, so we have to buy clothing, even though we don't get it. Even if we don't understand it, we have to fulfill this halacha, this inyan, to buy our wife clothing. Part of that is emunas chachamim. I just saw this morning, we were learning in the shul, we learned Orchas Yosher, a new edition of Rav Chaim Kanevsky's Orchas Yosher with footnotes. So we just finished off the inyan of Kavod Rabbo and emunas chachamim. And this Gemara so many times appears in Maseches Pesachim as well, and I never understood the point of this story until I just saw this morning of Yisrael Salant, a great chav. The Gemara is discussing how, I think it was Rav Masna, I'm forgetting which Rav it was, I think it was Rav Masna. Siddur Mora went to a town, he was in a town giving a drasha, he was talking about the lachas of making matzah for Pesach. And one of the lachas are that you have to use water that was left out overnight. This way the water settled and it was all relaxed and wouldn't cause any bubbling and chametz. So he said, Maim Shalanu. Maim Shalanu means the water that was Lashon Lina, slept over, that was left out overnight. Maim Shalanu. But he didn't clarify what he meant, and Maim Shalanu could also mean Maim Shalanu, our water. So when he said our water, so the people the next day, everyone from the town came to Rav Masna's house, and they had buckets, and they wanted to have his water. He said, Maim Shalanu, our water is what's needed for Pesach, for matzah. So he explained, no, Maim Shalanu doesn't mean our water, it means my water, it means water that's left out overnight, anyone's water. So they misunderstood. That was the Maisa. So if Yisrael Salant asked, what in the world was that Maisa, what lesson did we learn from that Maisa? It's such a strange lesson. Such a strange story. So if Yisrael Salant explained that these people had such a munas chachamim, if Rav Masna said it, it has to be true. Even though they've been baking matzahs for many years before Rav Masna, for hundreds of years, and they were not using the water of Rav Masna, if Rav Masna said it, they had complete emunah in what he said, and even though it didn't make any sense, they came to the bucket the next morning because that's what they understood. So here, if the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim that we have to buy clothing for our wife on the regel, so then that's what we have to do. So now I wouldn't recommend anyone shopping for clothing for the wife, aside from it being entirely inappropriate, possibly, and you have no idea what she likes and what fits her. But maybe what you could do is tell them you want her to go out and buy something nice for Yom Tov, buy yourself something nice. Go take my credit card, take a check, or buy yourself a new outfit, a new shaitel. Something, get a gift card for her maybe. But there's an inyan to buy clothing. Now in truth, so that's enough for us to understand the concept of buying clothing. But I think we actually understand this inyan. It's not just we're listening to what Rabbi Huda told us to buy nice clothing for our wife. We understand the inyan of clothing much more than we like to admit to. I like to give the example of men claiming they don't know how to fold laundry, or fold tablecloths to put away. I can't fold laundry, that's a lady's job, I don't know how to do it, I can't fold it on the kriza. But when it comes to folding their talis and shul, Shabbos morning, or Motzei Shabbos, whenever they do the folding, men have no problem whatsoever folding it by themselves, getting on the kriza, put it very nicely. Sometimes, you know, admittedly, we conveniently pretend to be ignorant in certain areas. So I think this is another example of we pretend to not know understand the inyan of clothing. I don't get women the gashmias, it's expensive, we don't get it. I think we're choosing to not understand and appreciate it. One of my rebbeim, when he first got married, so he dropped a dish when he was washing the dishes, and that was the last time he was ever asked to wash the dishes, so he really set the tone the first Friday night, I'm not involved in washing dishes, and he broke the dish. I don't know if it was on purpose or not. The stomach wasn't on purpose. But either way, sometimes we conveniently play ignorant to not have to do things around the house. Now, that's a whole other topic we'll discuss maybe next week or in 2 weeks about helping out around the house. So I think the inyan of clothing is another example, again, of us claiming ignorance. We don't understand why women like clothing. We buy it for them. The Gemara tells us to, but we don't understand it. I think we do understand this. Firstly, the Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos, Rav Yochanan referred to his clothing as mechubadi. Mechubadi gave him a dignity. A person without clothing lacks his dignity. He's embarrassed to be naked, of course. And Rav Yochanan referred to it as mechubad, as mechabit a person. So we can understand that the clothing's mechabit us, and women are, the clothing mechabit is mechabit our wives. And the Gemara says, in the Rambam Paskins this way, that there's a mitzvah to be mechabit your wife more than be mechabit yourself. So for ourselves, we buy simpler clothing, and for a wife, we buy fancier clothing. Now, I don't want to get involved of how tsanua, how fancy, how much money, just in, you know, buying clothing for the wife, new clothing for the wife. The Gemara in Brachos talks about how a Talmud Chacham has to be in such a way of dressing properly without any stains on his suit. And the story I've shared before in the past of a Yashiv, and he had someone threw eggs at him, and he didn't walk until he cleaned all the stains. This is a concept that we could appreciate, that a person should walk around with dignity, he should walk around looking like a mensch. There's an Indian of clothing. But I think there's a step above that when it comes to the Big Day Kuna. The Big Day Kuna, the Torah spends and dedicates an entire parsha to describing in great detail every nuance of the Big Day Kuna. The end of Sefer Shmos and Parshas Tetzava, we're told of all the Big Day Kuna. It goes one by one. It describes what they wear: the Kohen Hedyot, the Kohen Gadol, the Ephod, the Me'il, the Choshen Mishpat, the Tzitza, the everything. The Chnasayim, the Avnet. So we spent a whole parsha describing how to make clothing. And these are clothing that men are wearing, that the Kohanim are wearing. So the Torah places a great emphasis on clothing, on Big Day Kuna. And the clothing is so important, so essential to the Kohen, to the point where the Gemara explains that if the Bigdeichem Aleichem Kunaschem Aleichem, if the Kohanim are wearing the Bigadim, the clothing makes the man, so then he's a Kohen. But if the Kohen is not wearing the clothing, then in essence he's not a Kohen. He can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. It's the clothing that allows the Kohen to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see, there is a great significance that the Torah places that men could understand the significance, the importance of clothing. The Medrash explains to us that we're reading this week's Parshas Vayechi, and we're reading the concept of receiving the Luchos and the Torah, and the Medrash tells us that just like a kala, zu mitkashetes v'esim varba tachshit, and just like a kala, when she goes down to the chuppah, she wears 24 pieces of jewelry. So too, a Talmid Chacham needs to learn the 24 books of Tanakh, the 24 books of Tanakh that are accompanying the luchos and the Sefer Torah. So we see there's such a concept of just like a kala, and there's 24 svarim of Tanakh, there's 24 tachshitim that a kala wears. There's an Indian in Chazal, and it's modeled after the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is covered with so many levushim, so too a kala is covered in so many pretty and fancy tachshitim, so many levushim. So we see the kala wife is like a kohen, the chashivas of the clothing. A kala is like a Sefer Torah, and the chashivas of all the Tanakh around it. There's a very strong correlation between kohanim and women. The number 24, we just explained 24 tachshitin. So number 24 is very big in the world of Kohanim. Just without going through all the examples, but the one that comes to mind is that there were 24 mishmaros, 24 different posts of Kohanim who would work in the Beis HaMikdash. They take turns. So each week was a different Kohen. There are a total of 24 of them. So 24 is a big number when it comes to Kohanim. 24 is a big number when it comes to the tachshitim of Kala. In fact, the word dodi, ani le dodi v'dodi li, the word dodi is the gematria 24. So the meaning of dodi, my dear, my loved one, the number 24 really resonates with us. So what conclusion can we draw? So we see that there's a strong correlation between Kohanim and women. Our wives are like Kohanim. an additional comparison between the two of them, that when it came to the Chayda Ego, so neither the women nor the Kohanim took part in the Chayda Ego. Their pure outlook on life in Yiddishkeit, their unwavering commitment to Hashem. Women were not willing to donate their golden gold to the Chayda Ego. The Kohanim were very much on the same team as Hashem, as Moshe Rabbeinu. So they're in the same camp, the Kohanim and everyone, all the wives. The story I shared, Tishbav, I'll share it now as well, that Rav Schwab, when he was learning in Europe, in Radin, he was American, Rav Schwab, Rav Shimon Schwab, and it was time for him to go back to America. So he went to the Chavetz Chaim to ask for his bracha. The Chavetz Chaim asked Rav Schwab, are you a Kohen? So Rav Schwab said, no, I'm not a Kohen. Chavetz Chaim says, Chaval, you're not a Kohen, because, you know, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Mirat Hashem soon, Behevi Ameinu, so we'd all run to the Beis HaMikdash when it's rebuilt. And there's going to be a certain point where you can't run anymore. And I, as a Kohen, I'm going to get to run and perform the Avodah. But maybe you're a Levi, he asked him. Schwab said, nope, nine, not a Levi either. This is Chaval. Chaval, you're not a Kohen, you're not a Levi. You want to know why I'm a Kohen, asks the Chavetz Chaim, and you're not? So Rav Schwab was intrigued and certainly wanted to know the reason why. So he leaned in to hear what Rishon Meir Kagan was going to tell him, the Chavetz Chaim. And so the Chavetz Chaim explained to him that, you see, when it came to the Chayda Ega, so Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he said, Mi Hashem Elai. Mi Hashem Elai. Who's with me on Hashem's team? Who's joining me? Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm the captain of this team. Mi Hashem, Mi Hashem Elai. Who's going to be with me on the Hashem's team? And all the Kohanim ran. Chavetz Chaim said, my Zaydi, Zaydi, my altar Zaydi, my great-great-grandfather, he ran to be with Hashem. Your great-great-grandfather didn't run. He didn't show his loyalty, his unwavering commitment, he didn't show right away. And that's why I'm a Kohen and you're not. But finish off the story, explain that you're headed to America and there's a lot to get done there. There's a lot that needs to be done, a lot to build up, your Shemaim and Torah and Mitzvos. So just always remember, Mila Hashem Elai, you're in Hashem's team now, and there's a lot of work. Always show your unwavering commitment and loyalty to Hashem and the Torah, and you're going to have so much success there in America. But we see that the Kohanim were Mila Hashem Elai. The women were Mila Hashem Elai. They were both on the same team as Moshe Rabbeinu and the Chayda Ego. They both have a very pure perspective on life and Yiddishkeit. That's the same reason why neither women nor Kohanim have a chelek baretz. When it came to the chalukah, the dividing the land, women don't get a chelek, and that's why women don't say birkas hamazon according to one opinion. You have to have a chelek baretz Yisrael in order to say benching. And Kohanim also don't have a chelek baretz. And according to some opinions, that the Kohanim also don't have an obligation midiraisa to bench. But either way, neither groups of women or Kohanim have any ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And the reason is because owning land is a level of Gashmias. And women and Kohanim are above Gashmias. They're a much higher level than that. They're not connected to the Adama. They're not part of the union of Bezeas HaPecha. Bezeas HaPecha was given to Adam HaRishon, not to the women. Chava didn't have such a curse of Bezeas HaPecha. Only Adam HaRishon and men have to do Bezeas HaPecha. But since the Kohanim elevated themselves, the Kohanim don't work. They work in the base of Mikdash all day long. Women don't work either, generally speaking. So the Indian is that the more Kedusha, such as women and Kohanim, the more hidden they are, the more Tzanua, the more Levushim, the harder it is to access their Sod. So since Kohanim have greater Kedusha, so the significance of the clothing to adorn, to cover up, is more significant. So too for women. The Sefer Torah has a pretty cover to it. It's in a pretty Aron Kodesh with a curtain to it. The greater Kedusha, the more hidden. The Aron, the Kodesh Kedoshim, Aron, the Kodesh Kedoshim was hidden away behind a parochah so no one could see it. The great HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ein Sof. There's so many Levushim, so many covers, we of course can't see him, we can't come close to him, but the greater Kedusha, the more levels, the more layers there are hiding it. So this is the inyan of why women take clothing so seriously. It's because in Pnimius, there's so much Kedusha, so much Tznius there, as the Kohanim. And that's why there's an emphasis in the Torah and Bigdei Kuna, and the women, for the Bigdei Isha, Bigdei Tzavonim. And that's why we give them presents on the Regel. The Regel is also another connection. The Regel, normally there are 24 Mishmaros, we explain, but in the Regel, all Kohanim come together. There's no Mishmar. Every coin is allowed to come to the Regel. So the Regel is a time of the greatest Kedusha, all Kohanim come together, so to the women. We're also highlighting the women around the Regel time, all the Kedusha Sazman, the Kedusha Saguf. So around the times of more Kedusha, so the Kedusha Guf is elevated. So we want to give them more chashuv clothing, new clothing, in order to capture that. Interesting. As I'm saying this out, an idea popped in my head. The men have the yayin, have the wine, and therefore we have a concept of nichnas yayin yatsa sod. So for the men, the sod comes out much easier. The women stay tanua, but the men, the sod comes out, the secret comes out. Men are more open, they're more giving. Women are more hidden, they cover up their sod. And before I get back to that idea of sod, I just want to make one very, very important point here. So we do see the significance of giving gifts, and the significance in particular when it comes to clothing and tachshitim and jewelry. It's important to know that the Gemara tells us at the end of Maseches Menachos, and Rashi quotes this al Torah in Parsha Vayikra, Echad amar be'echad amamit ubavad sheichavin libam l'shamayim. Whether a person is giving a big gift or a small gift doesn't make a difference, so long as your intention is for Shem Shemayim. So then there's a nesina, there's some level of giving, big or small, doesn't make a difference. Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy, has to be libo l'shamayim. Don't think about how much you paid for it, just give something. I want to draw this back to Tubav, this whole idea of levushim and the covering up the sod. So we mentioned that lahi yom tovim ketubav and yom kippur. And the reason why Tubav is so great in addition to the shiduchim, there's also shidduch taking place on a higher level, on a more national level, in terms of the gula. After Tisha B'Av, we celebrate Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av, of course, is the middle of the month where there's a full moon. And the full moon represents that despite all the darkness of night, there's also light that can be shined. That moon, which itself has no light, it's dark, it's be'etzem, it's choshech, it knows how to move itself to reflect the greatest light. So after Tisha B'Av, where there's so much darkness, the moon moves its way to bring about the greatest light, the greatest geula. And that's why Tu B'Av is so great on a much deeper level. And the Chazal tell us that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, and Mashiach Eliyahu come hand in hand. Eliyahu and Mashiach, the Rashi table, is Aim, mother. A mother, Aim. So the birth of Mashiach and the accompaniment of Eliyahu, Aim, is Dafkan Chodesh Av, which of course is an Av, a father. So the Aim V'Av come together here in this month, and Tu B'Av, on the climax of the moon, where there's the greatest light, they come together to bring about this Gula. Dafka of the Aim and the Chodesh Av. There's a Shidduch taking place here. The Shidduch going on between the Av and Aim, between the Chodesh Av and the Aim, and each of the Chodeshim happens to be Cheta Egel. The Cheta Egel was taken away from the Shvatim, given over to the Nashim, to the women. So in Chodesh Av and the Aim, there's a Shidduch taking place here, in a much higher level. The Aleph Mem is the Aim. It happens to be the Rashi Tevos of all the people we have who are great saviors. Esther Mordechai, Aleph Mem, the Aim. Esther itself, in Aramaic, Esther, it's Hester Panim. In Hebrew, it's hidden. It also means in Aramaic, Istar means a moon. The moon is hidden, but shows its light. So Esther as well, she shown her the full moon. She showed her light in the story of Purim. From the darkness of Purim, they brought about the light. So Aim as well. And Aaron and Moshe as well, Aleph Mem, they also were the ones, the heroes of Gulas Mitzrayim. So through all the Gulas, Gulas Mitzrayim, and Gulas Purim, and Gula L'Asher Lavo, are all through the Aim, through the mother, through the Aleph Mem. And Dafkin Chodesh Av, the Shidduch between the Aim and the Av. It's the birth of redemption. And it's a time to strengthen our marriages, strengthen our relationships. So the moon, the full moon, represents the greatest light, the greatest ghoul in the darkness. I paid a shiva call, I think it was last year. It was for someone's mother who was a survivor. And she shared with me, the daughter who was singing Shiva, shared with me in a beautiful, beautiful idea that her mother was a survivor. She fled to America, and she didn't know what happened to her parents and her siblings and the rest of her family. But whenever she saw a full moon, she'd go outside and look at that full moon and say, "This full moon is so light, I hope my parents and siblings, wherever they are in the world, are looking at that same full moon." For her, that full moon was the connection to her siblings. It was a glimmer of hope for her. It was that aura, that light, that geula, in the face of darkness of the Holocaust, the face of darkness of Chodesh Av, the face of darkness in Mitzrayim, in Purim. That's why all the Yom Tovim are in the middle of the month. Sukkot and Pesach and Tesvav, because that's where there's the greatest light, the greatest geula. But the real yesod to all geula, it's the aim and the av, the mother and the father and Chodesh Av. But the real idea is, the Maral explains, it's the ability to keep it secret, to keep it sod. The Maral explains, to be tsanua, to have levushim, to have clothing on, not to share secrets. And it's built on a Moshe Beinu after Moshe killed the Mitzri. Then he saw Dasan Vavirim fighting, and he says to them, first he kills the Mitzri, no one's there, and he Vayifin Cho V'Cho, Vayarkin, Ish, no one saw, and he Vayach, the Mitzri, killed the Mitzri. Next day he goes out, and Vayyet, Vayyom HaSheni, Hinei Shnei Anashim Vivrim, and it's another two Jews fighting. Vayom the Rasha, Lama Sakarecha, why are you hitting one another? And they say to him, Yitzam Chalish, Sar V'Shofet, who appointed you king, who appointed you judge? Halageinu Ata, you're going to kill us, like Hashem Raktis, HaMitzri, you're going to kill us like you killed the Mitzri. Vayira Moshe got scared that someone knew what he had done to the Mitzri, he thought no one saw. But Yomer, Achein Noda Hadavar, now it's clear to me why they're not worthy of redemption. Why they're not worthy? What happened? So says the Maral, because the secret to Geula is keeping secrets. The fact that these people found out Moshe had done, they didn't keep a secret. Achein Noda Hadavar, now it became clear to him that they're not zocha to the geula. To keep secrets, to be tanua, is the secret of redemption. And that's clear. The Gemara Megillah tells us that b'schar tznius, Gemara and Megillah daf yud gimel beis, b'schar tznius shehayisa b'rachel, Rachel had tremendous tznius and modesty, and that schar that she had, she was zocha b'yat b'menu shaul. Shaul was also a direct descendant. Shaul came from Binyamin, Binyamin came from Rachel. So she was Zocha to Shaul because of her tznius. Ubischar tznius, Shehaya Bo b'Shaul, the tznius that Shaul displayed, he was Zocha Yatzu Menu Esther. Esther was. So what was the tznius? Oh, Esther, the tznius of her, that she ain't Magedas Maladas. She didn't say where she came from. She hid that secret. She kept it secret. She kept it as a sod. And that sod, that hidden secret, allowed for the whole story to unfold and become the ultimate goel of the story of Purim, is keeping the sod. And she got that from Shaul, who got that from Rachel. How do we see from Rachel? So we know the story of Rachel, that she didn't want to embarrass her sister Leah, and about keeping the secrets, the Gemara goes on to explain that she passed her the secrets but didn't tell anyone about this. She didn't want to embarrass him, and it wasn't until the morning that Yaakov realized what was going on. And with that tznius that she was able to keep, she passed it on to her great-great-grandson, to Shaul. It had to be from Shaul. When Shaul was appointed king by Shmuel, Ves davar hamlucha lo higilo, asher amar Shmuel, he didn't tell anyone. He was appointed king. He was busy walking around king. He didn't tell his parents that he was king. That was a sod, being humble, being tanua, being anav. And therefore she was zachta to have Esther, whose name herself, Esther, means aster, aster panim, to hide. It was the sod that brings about the gula. So that's why Moshe Beinu realized, achino da'adavar, where they weren't keeping sodos, they weren't keeping secrets, they weren't worthy. But now, when it passed on, then the times of Esther Mordechai, it was dafka, the sod, the ability to keep secrets, to hide them, is the real key to redemption. So in the same way, when it comes to women, they're tzinius of keeping levush in big day, the begadim, covering up all the secrets and being tanua. As the Kohanim also are tanua. It's not a thing of women also. Men are also supposed to be tanua in a certain way. Kohanim were meant to be tanua. They couldn't walk up the steps because of Makom Erva. They have to be tzinius as well. So the Indian of begadim is really showing tzinius and keeping secrets and keeping a sod, because ultimately the sod is going to bring about the birth
of the geula. So it should be in this inyan of us showing to our spouse, to our wife, that how much we love them by giving gifts, matanos, and clothing and jewelry to cover up in terms of tznius, not in terms of covering them up, not seeing. I mean, just in terms of a matana. It's an idea of a matana, of a levush, is an inyan of sod and tznius and hiding secrets, and that should be bring about the ultimate geula, the aim, the Eliyahu and Mashiach, the aim in Chodesh Av, that connection, that birth of geula, of Mashiach and Eliyahu, should come soon. We should be zochah to see the geula shema b'amitas meher of Yameinu. Amen.